There's an old man on a sleigh who's like me just for one day. Bestrides the world like a huge colostomy. He gets no presents, he gets no fun, and he's forgotten when he's done. So here's a little gift, a song to him from me. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Welcome to the Christmas Spectacular of the Coin Rejects podcast, the podcast where we talk about all aspects of arcade collecting, broadcasting to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm sitting here in Brandon's garage with my fellow rejects.
Ian.
Brandon.
And I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brian. You can find us on the web at coinrejects.com. We are on Twitter at coinrejects. And if you'd like to email us and tell us how... Sorry. You heard that coin.
Was that heads or tails?
That was an arcade token. That was more than just a coin.
It is now a broken token.
I believe that was even a pack, Portland Arcade Collector's token, that Brandon had out on the table here for some reason.
You might as well do take two.
Why? That's cool. Things happen.
And you can email us at coinrejects@gmail.com.
All right, so since this is the Christmas special episode...
We have gifts.
We have a gift here for Brandon. I just need to say a few words about this. I bought a big-ass lot of pinball parts a while back, and I know Brandon used to have a really nice Twilight Zone machine, and I know he doesn't have it anymore, but there was this, like, really sweet-ass... Here you go, open that up. Open it.
Okay,
a really sweet-ass Twilight Zone metal sign in there. And so I thought that someone who really deserves it ought to have that, which is why I gave Brandon this. Because you cannot see it, this is a street sign that says Man Cave.
Yes.
Seeing as how all of Brandon's games are now out in his garage, this is the official Man Cave.
Right. This is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like a license plate. It's
should I put it outside
steel?
The garage?
It's made, yeah, absolutely, yeah, on the front of the garage door. It was even made by felons.
Is this NOS?
Oh, it's absolutely NOS.
Sweet, thanks. This was seriously in that lawn stuff.
No, I'm giving that to someone else. Oh. that was just misdirection.
Okay, as long as I don't get the e-cig.
So this had nothing to do with the lot of pinball parts?
Nothing whatsoever. Pure misdirection.
Damn. That was very good. I can use it to cover up that hole in the wall over there.
Fuck yeah.
So does everybody like to call their arcade a man cave? Is that the favorite nomenclature?
I hate it.
I hate it too. And then whenever I hear that, I'm like... Mm.
Yeah, I can't hear the word without thinking of an anus.
Asshole.
Yep. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep, it's time to wax my man cave.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're really, really fat, maybe your belly button.
That shit ain't right.
Yeah, they can keep the man cave.
That's a good kickoff to the show.
Yep.
The Christmas special. It's not just the show. Yeah. This is the Christmas special.
And Christmas coming up means New Year's is coming up. And one of the things that's an annual tradition around these parts is Jordan's famous New Year's Eve party, complete with arcade games, karaoke, and hijinks. So how's that going, preparing for that party, Jordan?
You know, you get a little bit nervous. You start looking around and making sure everything is, looks like an arcade. I kind of had a machine pulled out where I was, using it to test another board. But things are... pretty good, Basically, I want all the games to work. That's kind of my thing. And maybe half the people, if there's a game not working, they're not going to notice or miss it or whatever. But you arcade nerds, you'll come by and you'll tell me if anything's messed up. You'll be
the fucking screen's gap too bright. To go left on your Pac-Man is totally jacked.
That kind of thing.
Right? Screen's too bright.
Yeah, oh, you're missing some sounds on Gyrus.
Yeah, wrong button on your Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that.
Can't abide it.
So I was a little bit stressed on pole position. It quit working. And I was like, oh, great, you know, because that's one of the games that you always end up working on a pole position. They're pretty flaky. And I got it working again. So it was okay. It didn't take much. I think it just had like a dirty edge connector. I just kind of wiggled some shit around.
Just wiggled your pole?
Yeah. And at that point,
to the right position.
You got to wiggle the pole into the right position. And so at that point, I said, you know.
Did you reseat anything?
Yeah, if an edge connector counts as reseating, I unplugged it and plugged it back in. But I did take my fiberglass pencil to the to the fingers, and that was good. Not my fingers, but the fingers on the PCB. But I don't think I even messed with the interconnect little PCB thing. And it's been good. I played a bunch of games. And I decided to move the credit switch the credit button. Pole position has a really shit free play, which
where
is
auto starts.
Yeah, which is weird for Atari.
It's a Namco.
Because it's Namco.
Yeah, all the Namco games that Atari released have shitty free.
And I suppose, and I guess the hardware on that is just really weird. So nobody's really came up with a good free play
shitty hardware
hack, including Ian, who I'm looking at right now.
Fuck, I don't have a working board.
He has. I have a broken free board. Plays Me before. Too. I have no idea how he does that, but he does somehow.
Programming.
And the free play is terrible. You put it on free play, and what it does is it continuously just starts a game and runs it. So it's like running a game, whether there's somebody standing in front of it with their foot on the gas pedal and hands on the steering wheel or not. So it's just really annoying.
It's useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever thought that would be a good idea? That seems crazy.
I have no idea what that would be for.
It's just convenient. You just roll in and game's midway.
Just roll in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Start playing.
It's like maybe for the trade shows, but it can't be useful in any actual setting.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, it's terrible.
It's like walking up to a pinball machine with four credits on it. And you're
God, I love that.
and two of the balls have already been spent. You just get one
tell
ball.
Me about it.
Yeah.
Fucking constantly two balls spent.
So I moved it up on the dashboard. I took out one of the carriage bolts that hold dashboard in place. Yeah. And it's obvious. It's right in front of your face. And I even printed out I found my brother P-Touch, and I've been going
crazy. Brother P-Touch.
I've been growing with...
It's the best name label maker.
It is. I have to say brother P-Touch. I usually don't call things by their name. I would say label maker, but the brother P-Touch is where it's
How
at.
How is your brother?
Yeah, he touched my feet. It just spits out names. Yeah. So
I don't know why you feel the need to act like a 13-year-old on this podcast.
I don't know. This might not be for you. So, it's really nice. It's like up on your dash, like in your car, you know, if you just had to like reach up with your right hand, ba-ding, you know, or actually, ba-ling.
Well, the new cars just have start buttons.
Yeah, and it's red. So I was pretty happy about that. Nobody's going to ask me on New Year's.
No one's going to play it anyway. So.
No one's going to. Yeah. Oh, people love pole position.
Really?
Yes,
oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Isn't that the one that you said you're going to get rid of?
Well, I don't know.
That's because it's a pain in the ass that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, why do I care? But other people, they love it. That's a popular game at the.
Definitely.
Yep, for the casuals.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to just jump into.
But it's fun. I've been playing it.
It's a great game.
I've never been good at that game.
Yeah.
I guess I've never played it enough.
You know what? Pole position two, test. That's my favorite track.
Is that the square?
Yes. That's the square. You know what's coming. It's a left-hander.
That's boring. The fucking NASCAR track.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, people say that
I can get to the
two sucks. Just, you know, the first one.
No,
with
two
Fuji.
Doesn't suck.
I know. I had the second one.
You could play Fuji. The sounds are better on the first one, definitely.
Yeah. And the sprites, I think, or the color palette's different.
Yeah, it's a little ugly. Yeah, too.
It's like a little muddy.
A little muddy looking. A little brown.
Mm. It's one of the iconic track sounds. Is the
boop,
the countdown.
Perfect.
And the tunes at the end when you get the high score or you didn't get the high score, and it holds 100 scores or whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
William style.
Crazy. Getting ready for a party, I guess you just make sure all your games are working. That's how I do it.
Do you just go, oh shit, I'm having a party, then you go down and turn all of them on and just see if there's anything?
No, I know my games. I know which ones were good at the last party, basically.
Yeah,
I think I had people over
change,
a couple
though,
months
right?
ago.
Wait, how often do you turn on all your games?
When I have a party.
So once a year.
That's like why every time you come over, you're like cleaning off the cobwebs when I get there early. You're like, fuck.
Oh, yeah, I got to dust them all up. PRGE. Yeah. I had a party then. Yeah. So usually you have that one then. And I don't know. I used to be better. I used to try to do it like once a month.
Yeah, I'm curious to see.
But I had less games then, too.
Yeah, what game is, you know, because you have like these parties every once in a while and you turn all of them on. Is there one that's been consistently like hosed every party?
Nope. It's pretty random. I mean, if I think the only games that give me problems or have given me problems, you know, just a handful. Tempest sometimes wants to fuck up. You know, sometimes the vector monitors want to fuck off.
Blame the vectors.
Yeah, but not usually. I mean,
you're adding to the myth that vectors are unreliable.
That's a myth. They're not. They're not at all. There's plenty of them that haven't given me any problems whatsoever ever.
Yeah, the black and whites.
Yeah, black and whites are solid. Those things will run forever. You got an asteroid, you'll have an asteroid for 20 years. I don't know. I don't have any really problematic games because I try to snuff that shit out and fix it. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Or you get shit from one of us and then you get motivated.
I get tired of hearing it. Yeah. So...
Like Stunt Cycle.
People like...
no, black and white. Speaking of black and white.
That won't be there. No. That's still out in the shop.
It's horseshit.
Horseshit. You know, I was thinking, though, things will probably change in my house at some point in the next few years. I might be able to, like, you know, move things around and have more games in the basement.
Like, you might have someone move out of the house?
Well, my daughter's getting older.
I mean, fucking house game.
She will be an adult at some point. So it's like, oh, well, that's a whole nother story of the house. That we don't use.
Put like an elevator there. Like,
but she's a millennial, right? Like, you're kind of fucked.
Oh, they don't move out of the house. Yeah, no. Is that what you're saying?
That's the joke.
She does seem to be very happy with us. She likes to be around us. And that's so she may never. She may never move out of the house.
I guess we need to have more podcasts.
I need to be more embarrassing, I suppose. Yeah. Insist on.
Keep on drinking that Jack Daniels.
Yeah. So so that's about all I'm doing as far as video games. I fixed one and just getting everything ready. It's fun. I can't wait till New Year's. It's good to watch everybody play the games, and that's pretty much why I collect the games, because I want to see people playing them.
So you never talked about like the parts that you picked up. Like, I noticed you got a bezel for your tapper, and
I did buy a bezel for my tapper. It was the
didn't you get one for Mappy too?
And I got a Mappy. I had
shit left right. You're telling us about it.
I had a big box of glass. I mean, it's I got a nice Mappy reproduction that this old game did.
I thought we talked about that.
We might have mentioned that.
The correct number of P's and everything.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And tapper. The tapper.
No, we say that every time. That's a reproduction.
Everything has double P's.
Yeah.
I like the tapper one. Looks nice. That was interesting that when
it's
we...
expensive, man. Fucking hurt me to pay all that
mirrored ink.
Yeah, whatever.
And all the repo bezels are expensive.
At least it's glass. I mean, if that shit starts flaking, man, I'll be pissed.
Yeah, I don't want to buy... I know I kind of need a bezel for my Pac-Man, but the only repros are on Plexi. I don't fucking want that.
I think
it's kind of a bummer to get a Plexi bezel, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather have the original.
I'll take
the flaking original.
Plexis, the other thing is that they...
cloud up and don't clean, get scratched.
Yep.
Like my Q-Bert.
They get scratched up and just look like shit in very short order. I just don't want it.
I think Darren at Phoenix Arcade was thinking about running more.
But more Q-Berts, right?
No, the Pac-Man ones.
I don't think they can talk about that, right? Namco will come get you.
No.
No.
No?
I don't know. I think either...
Wasn't there a weird thing with the Pac-Man?
I think that's over
there. There have been. It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
And I think that had more to do with this.
Because there was that crap company, 2Bits or whatever.
Yeah.
Or are they good? I don't know. I never
2Bits. So 2Bits got sued by them and had to pay a license, which is why all their art looks like shit, because it says copyright Namco instead of Bally Midway.
And the quality is just not there.
The quality, it's not great. But there's all the stuff that they got sued over is being reproduced by other people, either fairly openly or
somewhere.
Yeah, well, somewhere. I mean, they can keep making an example of 2Bits.
Of course they can. Good.
So, yeah, I think all that stuff is actually being reproduced, and either they don't care now or they don't know. So, I don't know. Get it while it's hot is my advice.
What, 2Bits?
No, not 2Bits. Get the correct reproductions where it is being run get sued.
Before people get sued.
Or, just...
Namco still exists, and they definitely make video games, and if maybe they get somebody new working at Namco in their copyright department or something. Who knows?
So this is interesting, actually. There was a thing back when Restoration Hardware, they started selling multicades. Did you see this?
Restoration Hardware?
Restoration Hardware.
I think I did see that, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't even know what Restoration Hardware is.
They're a yuppie hardware store, basically.
Is that in Eugene?
No, they're a big chain.
Or, I mean,
there's one here. Northwest, so, I'm sure. Northwest Portland.
So they had on their website like restored video game cabinets.
No way.
Yeah. But they were, you know, but they were 60-in-1 LCDs.
Oh, yeah.
Gross. And so someone got really pissed on Clav and emailed Namco's enforcement department to ask if the, you know, if the stuff that Restoration Hardware was selling was licensed or not. And they came down on like a ton of fucking bricks.
Awesome. Shit. Love it.
So they're still out there. And yeah, don't email about the stuff that's out there right now.
Did you see it's Christmas time, Christmas season. This, of course, is our Christmas episode. Just had to plug that one more time.
Do we have some bells to jingle?
Yeah, and there's no hats. Brian's wearing a red hat without the ball on the top. You were going to wear a black Santa hat.
Yeah, Krampus.
Krampus. Yeah, we're going to the Krampus. I think Portland did have a Krampus parade recently.
Did it?
Yeah, I think we did. No, yeah, you know,
the Timbers? Was that the?
That wasn't the Timbers parade. That was different. I ran down there on my lunch hour or whatever, or on my fuck you, I'm not working anymore hour. Going to the Timbers parade.
I wanted to talk about the Qbert bezel though that you posted on Instagram.
Yes.
Were you just having a fun random?
No, I was on KLOV, that arcade forum, and I think Darren is doing the Qbert bezel maybe again in glass.
Yeah.
And he posted up a picture. He's like, hey, does everybody else's bezel look like shit like this?
Yeah, it was like this saucer area was like...
And it was all like, yeah, it was this black background traced around the characters on the right-hand edge of the bezel. It was all kind of rough looking, not smooth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, naturally, I'm like, yeah, I'll go look at my bezel because it's, you know, just the original one. It's got some where it's the graphics are lifting. And so I had taken a bunch of pictures and just with my phone, though, they weren't that great, but they were better than a lot of the shit people were posting. It's like, he asked for a picture that shows
like
this,
reflections of like, you can't see shit.
Yeah, he's asking for a specific thing that shows this black background, but nobody can actually get a picture that shows the black background.
The thing about knowing how to use a real camera is that it also tells you how to use a piece of shit fucking cell phone camera.
That's right. So I'm like, I can get that even with my cell phone. And I started taking pictures. And by the time I, you know, somebody else had finally did what he asked, he's like, okay, guys, can you just, if someone has a bezel,
he's probably like fucking pulling his hair out.
Can you put a white piece of paper behind your blank bezel and then I can see the
outline? Trying to be nice about, you know, come on.
And somebody did that. I'm like, okay, boom, he has what he needs, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to take apart my game for him, but I was going to give it a try in 30 seconds. So, I, you know, you go on Instagram, and it says, oh, do you want to post some of these pictures you've been taking? You know, like...
And I was like, wondering, what was the reasoning? Yeah.
Fuck Instagram.
Yeah. So I'm like... Yeah, sure. Here, have a fucking Qbert face. See if anybody knows what the hell it is. So.
Snout. And that became your most popular post.
And that was the best thing I ever did. Evidently.
I knew what it was.
But it's interesting because I was out in the garage cleaning, actually, when I looked at your post. And I was like, fuck. I was like, my bezel looks a lot different than that. And I got my Repro from Mike's Arcade. At the time, was the only one selling the Plexi ones. And I was pretty... you know, pissed when I got it because it was the only one available and it's Plexi, it's not glass. It's like, oh, this looks good. This is what everyone else is buying. It's the only one that's available.
What does that run for that Plexi? 60 bucks or something?
I don't know.
More than 60?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. And now Arcade Shop's doing it, but I think they're using a Plexi as well. And so Darren's doing glass, which is really, really awesome. But yeah, you posted it. I'm like, wait a minute. Mike Hubert's like... Looks like someone put the smoothing tool on it, and there's no detail in that exact picture you posted, the Qbert on the right side. You know, it's just like, it's horrible. Like, the Repro, for, you know, all this time I thought it looked really, really nice, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
You didn't know what you were missing.
You can't it looks like ass.
So the Repros that are out there that are Plexi are not correct, and it's, if you have nothing to compare it to, it's fine, which I didn't have the time because I built mine... from a converted, game that was converted from Qbert, so it had no reference.
Yeah, you didn't have the old one to look at. Right?
And all the pictures online, I just didn't really, you know, pay attention to that detail.
Well, yeah, like Jordan was saying, all these fucking clowns out there don't know how to take a good picture, so you have no idea.
If someone would have put a piece of paper behind the pictures on Google Image
You'd
search.
Have known.
And so now I'm like, damn it, I need that bezel now. I need the glass one. So I'm actually pretty excited about it, even though I probably won't buy it right away.
Is someone local building a Qbert right now, maybe? I think think
Zach might.
Zach picked up a cabinet, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
He might want your plastic.
Yeah, you got that one up in Puyallup or Tacoma or whatever.
Yep, it was converted to something weird.
Yeah. I was also going to say, like, that's an interesting point you mentioned about don't write to Namco about, it's like everyone's reproducing those parts, and it would be pretty detrimental to the hobby, I think, if some asshole got pissed off, you know, and decided to do that.
Yeah, we're editing all of this out.
Yeah.
Don't give him any ideas.
I think Namco is the only one that's gotten fucking lawyered up about it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, actually. I would think maybe Nintendo might get kind of pissed off about some of the reproductions.
Yeah, they totally use their they use their shit over and over again.
Yeah, but no one...
Their IP, I mean.
Yeah. But no one else is really in business. Atari's not really in business. Bally's not really in business. Exidy, Cinematronics, they're all gone.
Williams is, but they're doing slot machines.
They're not really in business.
Didn't the Exidy multi-game, though, didn't he have to pay to license the ROMs?
Someone
he had to pay somebody.
Someone still owns, you know, all these IPs and...
That's why that thing costs a pretty penny. I think he has to pay somebody.
So I know, what's his name? Something Kaufman, who owned Exidy. He's still around, and he actually, if you go to the main page and look for the public domain ROMs, there are a couple Exidy games that got released into the public domain.
Oh, that's true.
So Spectar is one of those, and a couple other of those games. So yeah, there are definitely rights holders around, but
for pretty
mostly
much,
they don't give a shit.
Yeah, but...
The reason I'm surprised about Nintendo is because they still are in the business of making video games.
Yeah.
Basically, no one else is.
And they still, and like Namco, they still heavily use, you know, their core IPs like Donkey Kong and Mario. Yeah.
You're pointing at an asteroid.
No, I wanted to wear a defunct arcade shirt for you guys.
Oh, yeah, I was noticing it. It's good shit.
Yeah, I thought they'd get that.
That's actually a good segue into our topic of, or one of our questions about the decline in closures of arcades.
I would not have envisioned this arcade closing down.
closing down?
Yeah.
Mark my words.
So, speaking of arcades closing down in the greater Portland area, we heard word today, breaking news of an arcade opening up. Apparently, one of the local, real estate bar-owning moguls.
Yeah, Phil, the guy who owns and operates Quarter World.
Quarter World.
He was a really nice guy.
He was at PRGE this year, right?
Yep. He brought a lot of really awesome machines
there. Oh my God, they brought some great machines.
They brought a really sweet Johnny Mnemonic. They brought... the Joust pinball.
Joust pinball.
And what was it? America's Most Haunted.
I love that game.
That was
they
a
brought
game.
A lot of really nice games, really good pin selection. And, you know, I talked to the guy. He seemed really nice.
Stayed and they worked on them the whole time. And they were totally, you know.
And most of those games are on location too, right? Like,
yes.
There's Joust pinball is on location, which is kind of a shocker.
Right down from my house. They're kind of in between our houses.
Yeah, Brian. I didn't even realize that.
I had no idea.
Like, if someone had that one, you know, I would... Wouldn't want to put it out on location.
Yeah,
personally,
that one's at the scoreboard, right?
Maybe
whatever. You guys aren't from Portland, you don't know what we're talking about.
But yeah, that's a super cool. That's a super cool.
So
pin.
They have a steampunk theme, is what I heard. So I'm wondering, here's what I hear.
Well,
this is straight off the fucking newswire, guys.
What I hear.
What I hear is that they're not going to be running on quarters because this is just, you know, not a business model that really works anymore.
I thought it was Quarter World.
Yeah. No, it's retro. So what they're actually going to do is you just open the coin door and shovel coal in.
And then you put your goggles on.
Yeah.
Like,
so you walk in and you just get a bucket of coal.
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas.
You buy a bucket of coal. Shovel it into the coin door, and you put those funky goggles on so it doesn't burn your eyes.
Yeah, if you get to play for as long as the steam keeps getting generated.
And, you know, that's great that another arcade's opening, but square footage and games does not equal success. So there's, you know, I'm curious to see what their formula is and how it attracts people and, you know, how it does. There's no other big arcade in Portland anymore, so besides Ground Control.
It might be that, you know, the guy has a personal collection and he's making enough money with his other endeavors to where he doesn't give a shit and he just wants to put his game somewhere where people can play him. And so we win.
So this is actually really interesting because, you know, I think anyone who has a route as big as his, and he does run a very, very big route. I think it's 140 locations.
That's what she said.
It's probably got to be, you know, the biggest... route operator in the area. You know, I'm sure he has a warehouse with a shitload of machines that he just doesn't have a location for. It's probably makes business sense because instead of renting out space and taking in no income, he's going to have space to rent out and it'll be taking in a non-zero amount of income.
Yeah.
So I bet he's going to be, even if he loses money in the net, I bet he's going to be losing less money than he would lose otherwise.
Now, is it
good point?
Primarily, it's just going to be pins, or I know in the article it said arcades, it but it seems like he's pretty pin heavy.
He definitely seems that way.
So it's interesting because I don't think we have a good idea of what their collection is actually like. The only stuff I've seen on location is the stuff that earns money on location. And so that tends to be pins and, you know, Ninja Turtles, you know, 90s type games. And that's the only stuff I've seen. I'm sure they have more. And it would be nice if there was a space where you could see some of those games that aren't necessarily, you know, going to live or die by their take at a bar.
So the article says he's storing an additional 10,000 square feet worth of games. It just says games. It doesn't say pins or vids. So
I bet you he's got some video games in there. Dude, probably. Looks like he's our age. He grew up in the same era. He's been collecting stuff. I mean, there's got to be multiple people we don't know around who are snapping this shit up, because as far as like collecting games in the Portland area, it's pretty ridiculous. There's a lot of people who are buying games.
Yeah, one of the things I like to do anytime I pick up a game is just ask, where did you get it? You know, trying to like why the fuck do you have this? I want to hear some of the provenance.
Has that ever led you to another place that has
a lead?
Other game? Yeah. Has it ever led to a lead?
No, it has never gotten a lead to another game. It's just interesting background
on
the game. Speaking of picking up games, I think we have updates.
Do you want to know more?
I can tell you about I've totally got leads though from buying one game.
Yeah.
And then people said, oh, you want more games, more than just this one? And I'm like, oh yeah, I might be interested. And I did get leads to good games.
I noticed a lot of people, you know, that use Facebook that I don't, but a lot of them, you know, there's usually one guy in a circle of friends that collects games and they usually end up tipping him off. Oh, so-and-so collects games. You should sell blah, 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 blah. And I hear that happens a lot. You know, if someone could impersonate me and use Facebook for that purpose, then but I'm not ever going to do it. So
I've definitely,
you'd be okay with that.
I've definitely rolled up and ended up taking home more than what I was initially going to take home. Or, you know,
are some nice dishwares you got there.
Yeah. Are you going to use that TV? No. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I noticed you have a CRT that's aging. You want an LCD? Can I have one?
But yeah, you know, I haven't had any leads that took me to a completely different location. You know, as far as going for one thing and being like, do you have anything else as long as I'm here? Yeah, that shit usually works out. But
I think I did once. Leads. It was like a family member. It's like, oh, my daughter, I think, has some games that broke and she hasn't done anything with them. I'll talk to her and then I'll get back to you. And she did get back to me and it worked
nice.
Out.
Yeah. Most of the recent ones where I've bought a game off someone, it's usually that game or maybe one or two, or in that one pickup we did, there was eight, but it was just those and that was it. And it was usually they've had them for years and got them from.
Yeah. It's funny. You seem to pick up a lot of games that have owners that have just had them forever.
Yeah.
And they're always in nice condition.
The Nibbler was one of them. That was in really good shape. The Robotron was another one that was in a nice shape. Nice.
It's because Brian splashes out with the large coin.
He swoons them with his...
With my...
I don't know.
That's
like a listener fill in the blank, you know.
Oh, I see. Write us next week. Tell us what you think that he swoons him with.
His fucking elven charm.
Coin rejects.
You know, I run a podcast, right?
.com.
Yeah.
So the last few games that I've gotten have been trades for the most part, which has been nice.
Yeah.
Without shelling out any money. Speaking of shelling out some coin. Just recently I did a trade with a local collector, Greg, who had a Kix Taito cabinet, which had a MAME inside of it running Zookeeper. But
this sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. Bells.
The legacy of dad.
Someone else in this garage might be able to tell us a little bit more about this setup. Maybe more than I even know about it.
No, thanks.
But
that was your Zookeeper, Brandon. We know it.
Yep. So it's a Kix cab, but it's got the Zookeeper marquee and bezel, and it does have a MAME inside it. But I did get some parts along with it. Right now, the control panel has got an extra hole in it, so I've got an extra control panel with an overlay. The board, the metal board to mount the PCBs on, and a set, not only the Kix boards, but also a set of ZKeeper boards, which may or may not work. We're not sure yet.
Yeah.
But it does have a MAME inside it right now, which is kind of nice because I've never actually had a MAME cabinet before. So it's been kind of cool to be able to boot up some games that...
Now all your dreams can come true.
I wouldn't have... Burger Time over the weekend.
20,000
cool.
games.
Yeah. All 20,000 games right in your one cabinet.
That's so. It. You're done collecting.
I know. Yeah. It's like...
We'll never see you again.
So is it is it running DOS?
No, it's
runs Windows yeah. XP.
What? What's wrong with that?
I like DOS.
And I can connect the cabinet to my Wi-Fi, so, you know.
God.
You can Skype on that bad boy.
You can get bullshit. You can get like the weather bug.
So you got that. So what's in the Sputnik arcade now? What's the
lineup?
Yeah, what's the lineup?
The lineup is ZooKeeper, Food Fight, 720, Robotron, Mappy, and Gyrus.
Solid.
On the inside. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. It's like Berserk was kind of the glaring one that was like, yeah. I don't know.
I always told you, and you're like, no, I like Berserk.
I knew Greg had this cabinet because Brandon had it before him, and I had been considering it, and I went back to an email thread I had with him, and he was like, if you ever think about selling that Berserk, let me know. And I was like, oh, maybe we could work out a deal nice. Here. So it was
I remember playing a bunch of that ZooKeeper with you, Brian, at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo a couple years ago. Yep, mm-hmm. It was there.
Yeah, it's a good cabinet, it's so good hopefully... Fun. Maybe once summer comes around, I'll buy the art package and make Phoenix. It a...
Do it up, bitch ass.
As dedicated as I can. I put my name on the list for the multi-Taito board.
Oh, nice.
It's Taito.
So we'll see. Taito.
It's Taito.
Taito.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, Taito.
Yeah.
And it's also Kix, like you pronounced it correctly. Kix, yeah, good job. Yeah.
Not that's Quix. It.
No.
Quix? Is that
Quix.
They also, Kix. This is a trivia, Quinn Rejects trivia.
Also, is, even though it's spelled Jungle King, it's pronounced a Jungle Hunt.
Jungle Gun?
I thought it was Jungle Gun.
No.
We haven't used that for a while.
Yeah.
Kix and ZooKeeper were the only games developed by like the North American division of Taito.
Oh, really? So
they're actually American game, developed America. Games.
Fuck
you know,
yeah.
Which is not very common back then with mm-hmm. a Japanese company.
Yeah.
And they're actually both good games, too.
And they're both interchangeable, too. They both work.
Yeah, it's the same PCBs. Harness,
right?
Same harness. The only thing that's different is ZooKeeper has like a coin board. It's like a size of like a little bit bigger than the credit card. But you can...
Like one of those multiplier type boards.
Yeah. And you can use a different ROM, burn a different ROM to basically eliminate it. So, which everyone does. Yeah, but so- yeah, I would recommend with that title just to use...
No love for the coin board.
Yeah. A multi-board.
Coin board reject.
Coin board reject.
No, I want to see it on original hardware. I mean, I only get to play it in MAME myself. I do not own a ZooKeeper. I love the sounds
well,
on
definitely
that.
Yeah,
the
sounds are awesome. I definitely want to try this board and see. I assume you didn't hook it up.
No.
And I don't think Greg hooked it up.
No,
I haven't
hooked
it up.
But generally... So, the
it doesn't work.
The, yeah. Yeah.
Untested.
Generally,
The schematics for ZooKeeper and Kix are a shit show, dude. Like
all the Japanese games
remember you were talking
shit
about last
schematics.
Well, our unreleased episode that's coming soon. You mentioned Exidy's like horrible schematics.
No, Exidy has awesome schematics.
No, the shooters have terrible schematics.
What was the one that you said were like horrible quality?
Sega has shit.
Was it Sega? Okay.
Now, if you look at the 440 games, they have terrible schematics.
Maybe that's what you're saying.
Even if you have the original,
all the old,
like you think you were saying, like the scans are shitty.
No, even if you have the originals, they're still shitty.
Yeah. That's how like the Taito ones are.
I only saw the scans.
But anything like 82 or later has shit schematics, and anything Japanese is shit. Because like, even if you get schematics and they're in good quality, everything's fucking labeled in Japanese.
Yeah.
You're hosed.
Unless you know Japanese.
Yeah, there you go. So this was kind of one of my grail-ish games.
Yeah, you're a big fan of ZooKeeper.
Yeah, I'm a big... I love that game.
So are you content with the with just having a non, you know, not really a
non-original
dedicated ZooKeeper?
Running MAME.
Not like dedicated as far cabinet. As the cabinet or as far
yeah,
as
cabinet.
The MAME?
Yeah, ZooKeeper has a pretty bitchin' art package on
yeah, it's like kind of like Food Fight where it's like all around. You got
yeah,
the,
but it, yeah, the original is actually stenciled though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would.
I think that's fine. You know, you can repro the art, and you've got a nice kick-ass cabinet.
Phoenix Arcade has just the top-notch
art for it. If you got a Kicks cabinet and you put Zookeeper art on it, I think that's all good. Yeah. But I want to see Zookeeper on some dedicated hardware.
Yeah, I don't care how the cabinet looks, but definitely the hardware.
I want to see it running on some hardware, because if emulation ever lacks, it lacks in the sound area.
Well, and no, Zookeeper, that's Arcade SD.
No, just emulation in general.
Well, yeah, have a lot more issues with sound.
In general, the issues will be in the sound.
Well, because all the other stuff is digital, which is easy to emulate. Emulating a lot of these games, like Asteroids, analog audio, and it's very difficult. Definitely, a lot of the games that they'll play right in MAME, except the sound is horrible, or they can't emulate it, so they take samples and doesn't sound right. I agree with Jordan completely.
So I'm agreeing, but I'm just saying, like, there's worse examples, though. Like, you know, there's Donkey Kong. No, I'm saying, like,
the fucking walk sound is
the main version of Zookeeper is like the most accurate one available, but the Arcade SD one, like the one that you have, is horrible.
I don't have that version. I play it in MAME.
I thought it was on your
Arcade SD. It is on the Arcade SD because I played it at your place.
Your cocktail.
And it didn't sound
doesn't
very
have
good.
Arcade SD.
Was oh, I don't play that one. I played on the Double Dragon.
Well, I know, but you were playing it last time.
Yeah, well, that's your fault for playing that one.
Fine.
There's another one like 2 feet away.
But I'm just, I was saying like
well,
the lesser of the...
I wanted to play the Arcade SD, so...
The lesser of the two evils was the main version.
Yeah, so I guess I have two emulated versions of that, and the
shitty one.
The main one's better than the Arcade SD one, I mean, it plays the game, but...
Yeah.
And I love the sounds in that game, I just wonder how much better they are on the original. And I'm just thinking nobody in this area has a dedicated one that I know.
Yeah, not that I know of.
We're really lacking in Taito.
Taito rejects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of games in
Kicks
this area.
And Zookeeper have amazing sound package.
Yes, indeed.
So and what Kicks do you think about those multi-boards that like the J-Rock boards that aren't they running the original?
It's going to have the same issue, though, because it's...
I don't know how they're going to do it.
I think Ian knows better than me.
I haven't looked at how they're going to lay it out or anything, but if it's plug and play, then they either have to have circuit... They have to reproduce the analog audio circuitry, or... I mean, I don't even know enough about the game to really talk. I don't know if it's analog audio or if they have some sort of digital audio setup, but, I mean, I think they'll definitely try and get it close.
Yeah.
So when MAME uses samples, it's generally because it was analog audio and they can't reproduce it digitally. Am I far off? Or
no, that's about right. In order to reproduce analog audio, you don't emulate, you simulate. And the computational power necessary to simulate a circuit of that complexity is impractical. So instead of doing that, they just sample it. Or in the case of something like the like Wizard of War GORF, where there's a lot of speech, no one knows how those speech synthesizer chips actually work. So there's no real possibility of emulating it. So they just take samples and use those.
Okay. And sample is just basically a digital recording that's played back at a certain time.
They're just normal ass digital audio files.
So
digital.
It's left to the person recording it and how good they are at
stuff. It's like when you record something with your iPhone or whatever.
If they brought the Wizard of War in the bathroom with them, then it's going to be pretty bad.
Yep.
What's that original speech chip that's so awesome?
Votrax.
The Votrax.
Yeah, SC01.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is badass. Yep.
That's GORF, Wizard of War, same
Q-Bert,
chip.
Mad Planets.
Yep, Q-Bert used it, but they didn't try to make speech. They just
isn't it some of the
shit?
Sega used a different thing, which Sega stuff is actually a lot better, but I don't know how they generated it.
Sega Gremlin, like the Astro Blaster?
Astro Blaster, Space Fury, Zector, all those have like really, really excellent synthesized speech and also not emulated even remotely correctly in MAME. They sound like they actually did implement some rudimentary emulation, but it sounds like complete shit.
Stephen Hawking.
No, that was the vote. He used the Votrax chip originally, right? The Stephen Hawking voice is.
I have no idea.
I believe it is. I mean,
God, now I just have to get him somehow to say, hey, insert coin.
So that's it on the Sputnik arcade front.
Coins detected in pocket.
So, yeah,
that's
Doritos, sponsored by Doritos. You can hear the crunching.
Give me that.
I want some. Give me a PBR.
Hey, Ian.
All right.
We were going to segue into something, and I rudely...
Yeah, you ruined it.
I ruined it.
Yeah, I got... I actually today...
Oh, Jesus, will you not chew chips in your microphone? Come on.
Real nice. All right, you have to turn his mic back on, though. Win. So I got...
What up my nose?
Oh, God. Dorito nose syndrome. I got two pickups. One, I picked up an Asteroids Deluxe cocktail.
Oh, wait, before you go to the second one.
Okay.
You need to challenge me.
I have to challenge you.
I get 30 seconds to figure out what it is.
Starting when?
After you get done talking about the Asteroids cocktail.
Okay, hold on. I don't know if I can do 30 seconds on my timer. Nope.
A minute.
There's a timer.
You get 1 minute.
There's a timer right here. We can watch it on the Mac.
Okay, so I picked up an Asteroids Deluxe cocktail for dirt cheap, and I'm going to fix it and flip it.
Nice.
Those are kind of hard to find.
They're...
like, Asteroids is easy to find, but...
Yeah.
Asteroids Deluxe cocktail?
Yeah.
Does it have the 3D art?
No.
It's rare.
No. I don't know why the
Doug,
fuck I bought
Doug
it.
Doug got a really cheap. Nice one. I went and helped him pick it up. What was that? Was that an Asteroids or Asteroids Deluxe?
Yeah.
Oh, Asteroids, yeah.
I saw it. It's real nice.
The lady seemed kind of horny, too.
Did you fuck her right in the pussy?
No. We had to get out of there.
Yeah. Gotta get in there.
She started asking a lot of questions.
Yeah. It's Doug's natural charm. All right, so I made a trade today. I traded my extra Missile Command Mini plus some cash for another game.
Okay.
So what is it?
Is it Brandon? An upright or a cabaret?
It's got to be a good one.
It's not technically a cabaret, but it's not upright size.
Fuck.
It's a mini.
Okay. Is it
a gold Neo Geo?
Have you had the game before?
No. What?
Have you had the game before?
Difficult question to answer.
Okay. Atari?
No.
Bally Midway?
No.
Exidy?
No.
Nintendo.
No.
Taito.
No.
Yeah, what else is there?
Sega.
No.
Is it a Japanese company?
Yes.
NVS or whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not the gold one.
Oh, it's a candy cab.
It's not the gold one. It is
the other candy cab?
It is the Neo 19 four-slot 19-inch candy cabinet.
I did that in 53 seconds.
You had help.
No. You were supposed to help me.
So, yeah, I'm super stoked about this. I've been after this particular machine for a while, and it's in nice shape and plays good, monitor's nice, sweet little machine. I think it's a lot better than the 13-inch two slot that I've got, because it's got double the slots and a 19-inch monitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's in pretty decent shape. Stoked about it. Came with a stool and some carts.
Wow. Stool and some carts. Did it come with that little ashtray too?
No, I don't think they've had ashtrays on the 90s machines.
Damn.
But yeah, nice little machine. Pretty stoked about it.
Nice.
You got a pretty good MVS collection now, right?
I really like the MVS. This is my third MVS cab that's in the probably going to keep queue. I've had a bunch of them, and I have a shitload of carts. I sent Brandon a picture, actually. I now have I have four Puzzle Bobble carts.
Oh,
and I've probably had four others that I've sold off.
I unearthed back when I was collecting. It's funny you say that. Back when I had my candy cab and I had Puzzle Bobble, I found my mini marquee when I was cleaning the garage.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's my recent pickups.
Damn, I thought it was going to be something rare.
So, so he likes the little Missile Command cabinet, huh? That's good.
Yeah. Yep.
So what do you, are you...
Jake is like our youngest collector. He's like in high school still.
Awesome. This guy's like, this is like where we wish we were when we were
his age. Yeah, I wish I was collecting when I was in high school.
He gets some good stuff.
Yeah.
So... Ian, game room updates. You've been getting games pretty rapidly, and you're exceeding like the space that you can even put these games in.
Yeah, fuck.
And then it's have a bunch of broken games.
Yep.
So like, what's the master plan? Like, you got, you know, Omega Race in the, you got your cabaret finally in the game room.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
I haven't had a chance to figure out what is up with it. I swapped my working board into it and a working monitor into it, and it did not work. So
that's
How does that happen? It's a pain in the ass.
Can you just...
So I'm gonna go and swap the power supply from my other cabinet.
Yeah, actually, that's okay. I mean, you know, the expensive bits. Yeah.
Is the cocktail the same exact harness?
I doubt it.
Just, you know, take an axe to the cocktail and then just move everything over.
Yeah, well, that's my plan, is that I was just going to gut the cocktail and sell it off. And I was hoping that the stuff in the cabaret cabinet would work okay. Mm-hmm. But it came without a monitor. And I was pretty sure the board didn't work. And I tried it in my working machine and it didn't work. So
does it have acid or alkaline damage?
Yeah, it's both of them have damage that's been repaired. So, yeah, I was hoping working board, working monitor would get it working. But I think there's something else going on.
Interesting. We have power supply. I'd try that.
Yep. Oh, I'm just going to... My master plan was to take everything out of the cocktail and just keep it as spares because this shit is flaky and just sell off the cabinet empty because I don't give a single shit about cocktail cabinets.
Same size monitor, too?
Yep. Same size monitor.
You know who loves cocktail cabinets?
Kenny J. Yeah.
Kenny J.
So, but now it looks like I might just swap everything over and sell it empty that way. So, yep, that's that deal.
Unfortunately, a board and a monitor of Omega Race is worth more than Omega Race cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, I picked up that cocktail for $125.
God, dude, that was a fucking steal.
Wow. Yeah, I'm real happy about that still.
I don't know about
you get two spinners and four buttons. And,
yep.
I don't think most of the listeners understand of how scarce it is in Oregon. I mean, when you can get an Omega Race for that price, I mean, that's...
Yep. All I had to do was rebuild the monitor, recap, new bottle caps, and it was working great.
I think I got my Omega Race for a couple $100. But yeah, the monitor was hosed and then the board had damage and I was able to fix it.
I think I got mine for like under $100.
It was they're all over Omega Race. But I had to like completely... There's a ton of them.
A ton
of them
work. Broken, yeah.
Yeah, none of them work. You'll never find a working one for sale.
Shitty board to fix.
I fixed mine.
As far as master plan goes, I don't know if I have a master plan. I've got some stuff that is definitely not keeper right now that I need to fix and shift. So I've got an Asteroids I got to finish fixing up and shifting out, and one that I'm not going to fix and I'm going to sell. And I might sell my project to Tempest. I don't know.
Ooh, can you just put it in my garage so I can have a Tempest again?
Well, yes. since it has no monitor or board or back door, absolutely. I will put it right in here.
But I can restore the cabinet and then like eventually buy the parts for it.
I don't know. I think we won't be able to record in here again.
I'm going to get
If you want to buy it, hit me up after.
We're pretty much surrounded.
I'll trade you a man cave sign.
Man, I don't know. That's a very unfair trade. It's that valuable. Man cave sign is just worth way too much.
Yeah.
I don't have a master plan. I think for right now, I'm going to, once I get some of my project queue worked out, I'm going to set up a row in my garage.
Okay.
I'm just going to have the bigger machines.
Let's put it this way. What is the number one project in your queue then?
Define number one.
For your...
Like say...
The most urgent thing
you want in the game room right now.
Yeah.
Galaga Cabaret.
You were pretty motivated on that a while ago. Then you just kind of...
Well, it got cold. I need to do woodwork and it got cold.
Get a space heater.
Yeah, it's... I have so much shit in my garage that I just don't want the dust everywhere. So I haven't been working on it in the garage. It's been too cold to work on it outside. I was hoping to wrap it up this summer, but I'm going to have to pick it up when it gets warm again.
You don't have a Galaga Cabaret in your arcade already?
I took it out to put it up for sale and then someone wanted to buy it and then I moved it and it quit working. So now I have to fix it. Okay. Yeah, I still have it.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember that.
But it doesn't work because I moved it. Fuck. And it's Galaga.
I'm not a fan of Galaga.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I like it.
Yeah, Galaga's all right, but it's Galaga.
It's the game that...
It's the game that everybody wants butter. To play.
It's the, you know, it's the Pac-Man.
No, Pac-Man's better.
No, it's not.
No.
I don't think it is.
I don't think Pac-Man's
better. I do not... No way.
Maybe Ms. Pac. Maybe Ms. Pac.
Yeah,
Ms. Pac. Okay.
Crazy Otto.
Ms. Pac-Man's better.
We've decided that just now. Majority vote that Galaga is better than just Pac-Man.
What do you guys think? Let us know at CoinRejects. gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter.
We need something for the mailbag.
They need to do a top 100 on Clav.
We could just start a random top 100 that'll just piss people off.
Yeah, you know? Let's do it.
Like they do on the radio shows, like the top 100 countdown. We do like a top 100.
We could just
number one.
Are you Galaxian is better than Galaga?
Yes, I'm in that camp. Yep. Okay. Yep. Galaxian.
No.
Yeah, it's a pure game.
I don't know if I'm in that camp either, but I have developed a healthy respect for Galaxian. It's I would not like, mind having him.
No, it's just like
they're very uncommon.
Getting those three in a row and getting
points.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. That's what it's all
about. This is actually one of the things that annoys me tremendously about Gorf is that it does not have that mechanic.
Yes.
It annoys
what is,
me.
What is the what do you
when the Galaxian comes down and it has the two other, I don't know what the characters
it's
are called.
It's two buddies.
It's two buddies. Yeah, it's two buddies. It's wingmen, right?
Yeah. I'm going to look in the manual now and look for two buddies.
In Galaxian, if you shoot the two lower valued enemies first and then shoot the Galaxian, you get, I think, 800 points for the Galaxian.
That's the huge points.
Yeah, right that's there. The only way you can get any number of fucking points in the game, yeah. Which is punishingly difficult. In Gorf, you get the same point value for every enemy, no matter what order you shoot them in when they come down in that formation.
Hmm. So you got these skills, and you're not rewarded for them. It does suck in Gorf. But yeah. Gorf's a cool game.
I like Gorf.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of it makes up for it, but that part has always annoyed me.
I'll take Gorf over Galaga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way I think cool. I would, too.
I don't know.
The thing is...
I wouldn't.
The thing I've always disliked about Gorf is, like, it seems like it's like the frame rate suffers, you know?
Oh, yeah. The hardware is not great.
Well, you know, you can't rapid fire. You have to shoot one bullet
that's
at a time.
That's not the problem with it.
Okay.
No, I like that mechanic, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really good.
That's just another layer
you shoot
of
again and
complexity
your
that's nice.
Just went limp.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's good. Yeah.
It's like good. The five or six bullets in Asteroids or whatever. No, just I was saying earlier that how I wanted to bring up like shitty console ports and stuff, you know, where they just started getting.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Speak on it, my brother.
yeah. But it just seems like that was a game that was like, you know, the hardware sucked.
Did they try to port Gorf?
I don't know.
To something?
I'm sure they did.
Probably.
It just reminded me of like a port because you're playing it and there's like a lot of the ships are moving around and then it just gets all janky. And it's like, if that would have just had some beefier hardware, that's the kind of like...
They were testing, you know, the limits, my friend.
I know, but you know, when you talk about people like reproing stuff and doing ROM hacks, I always want to see people like...
Make an original code better that needed,
well,
needed help.
Are you, so you're a D2K fan? Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
Yeah, is that a better game?
Yes.
Than Donkey Kong?
Yes.
I've never played
it. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. It's so
no,
hard.
No, I played it once.
It's really
it was hard
fucking
as hell.
Hard.
It's and, really yeah. hard, but it's
but
really
once,
fun.
It is.
Once you know you, what else is hard? That's, Donkey Kong.
That's yeah. different. That's different, though, because that's just you know, reorganizing and adding sprites, but it's the same.
50 years ago.
Donkey Kong doesn't suffer from slowdown or janky movements and stuff.
I see what you're saying.
I'm talking about when you have all this new technology now, why not give Gorf or other games that struggle with a shitty frame rate like Star Wars the extra processing power and like just leave all the code the same? Actually, I guess you can't leave the code the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I guess you'd have to rewrite the whole game.
Yeah, well,
but
you could
you know
maybe...
what I mean, though, right?
It's...
I know it's not as easy as, oh, now we got new tech, so let's just throw the new code on. But I'm just saying...
Just put a Pentium 4 in it.
I think a lot of those games were... I think a lot of those games were designed with the hardware limitations in mind. So, you know, maybe even if you, say, replace the CPU with one you could clock at a higher speed, maybe it's only drawing every other frame when it gets to so many sprites.
Yeah.
But... You did get me onto a fucking topic I want to vent spleen on, so...
That's fine, dude.
It's fucking...
That's what we're here for. Man cave.
This fucking goddamn trend of making quote-unquote retro games for, you know, iOS or whatever drives me up fucking wall.
No.
I hate it. I hate all of them. I hate Fix-It fucking Felix fucking Jr.
I hate
all that shit. But... very few things annoy me more than the retro style games that have... fucking incredible color palette, and it's like you see the pixel art and then it fucking rotates like 3 degrees and you're like, no, it doesn't work that fucking way. It's goddamn, how can you fuck this up so badly? They're goddamn pixels. How can you rotate a fucking pixel? It does. Oh my god.
What is the
fucking kill yourself.
What
just
the,
fucking
the,
kill yourself.
What example?
Literally any game that you go out there and do this on. It's like any of them. They're all like this and it makes me so crazy.
Yeah.
Like if you could just like make a fucking grid and have one thing turn on at a time. It's not that fucking
Imagine
hard.
Imagine graph paper.
Yeah. But it's like, oh yeah, they draw it on graph paper and then they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to rotate it 45 degrees and the fucking like lines slant. No, fuck off. My God, I hate this shit. So that's all.
That was a good rant.
Yeah.
We may have to like lower the volume on that one, but
I was riding the gain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you riding it dirty?
The gain.
Yeah. I was riding that the whole way. Yeah, I understand like the stuff back then was like a closed platform and, you know, hey, we have this. But you know, then there's like, you know, 100 other games of that era that performed fine. So I don't know if it was better coding or
whatever. Gorf had a very weird kind of hardware setup. And I kind of love that hardware because it's so weird and horrible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just, it just looks kind of shitty. And I think they were pushing it with Gorf, you know, like Wizard of War.
Wizard of War, they yeah. weren't, they, it's like, okay, this is what yeah, we got to
I think
with.
Even but Wizard like, of War is like,
no, it's kind of janky.
It looks like, shitty, but it
I
runs
said,
great.
I said that to you and you got offended, but like, it, when no, you hit the fire button, you're like, it isn't, it's not like one-to-one. Like
it looks janky in a good way is yeah. the thing. Like, yeah. But yeah, like two enemies go over each other and like the overlapping part is black and you're like, oh, come on, man. Like, you could do this. You could do it right. Or Robbie Roto, same hardware. It looks like that's a fucking hell. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. I think they made like a black and white baseball game. Space Zap, same hardware. Space Zap I really love. But yeah, it's extremely simplistic graphics in that game.
Yeah, I think they just botched that hardware platform.
We're missing out on Space Zaps too. I don't know anybody with a Space Zap.
I really want a Space Zap.
I regret not buying the one that I wanted to buy.
I've never.
I
seen
regret
one for
you
sale
not buying
locally.
That too, because I would have bought it from you.
Was it you had to ship it?
Yeah, no, yeah. That was it the was issue. In California. That wasn't the issue.
Yeah, I've never.
I spent
space
a lot of money on Havoc. That's not an issue.
yeah, that one was in. It was pristine. Oh, God, this is one of the few games where I think the upright is better than the mini.
Yeah,
I think the upright is just a tremendous, awesome cabinet. I would rather have the
and
upright
there's like
than the
nothing
mini.
Like it. That's another unique game that looks awesome.
Four big buttons.
Well, just like the plexi sides, and then it has the whole cabinet is like a design. It's not just graphics. There's textures in the cabinet. You know, it has
well
some weird.
Out.
Yeah, it's just really cool.
It's a total package.
It is the total package.
Yeah, fun game. I find simple the game fun extremely game. Fun, and yeah, definitely an awesome cabinet.
What do you think about Space Zap?
I don't think I've ever played an actual cabinet of it. Yeah. I think I have either. Played it in MAME, but that's
I'm
about
trying to
it.
Think. At California Extreme, is there usually a Space Zap?
Not that I remember.
I think that's just God, one yeah. that eludes us. I don't know.
Because it seems like you see most of the games there over and over, and that's one I've never seen.
Well, that's because... You know, my theory about East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah.
No, that's true. An East Coast
that's
game.
True. That's true. An East Coast game.
Bally yeah. Midway.
It's a cool game. But so the control scheme is that there's just four buttons because yep. I've only played yeah. it with like a joystick.
You know,
there's four big
fire up,
buttons.
Down,
you know,
left,
two or 3 inches tall. Four buttons, and yeah,
and it becomes yeah. like a you know, it almost becomes
it's
like a
Simon.
Yeah. yeah, it's like
yeah,
and it becomes down, hit up, right. comes left, hit the left button, and then it just gets insane, and that's mm-hmm. it's like a almost like a you know a precursor to the. Crazy Japanese games where you're slamming all
yeah,
the buttons.
A rhythm game, yeah.
yeah. Exactly. It's really cool.
Yeah, I can see
visual
that.
Visual rhythm game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fun game at California Extreme that's a newer Japanese game where it's super simple. I think it's a four-player game, and you have like
oh, yeah.
one or two huge buttons, and it's a blast.
Was
play.
That the one that's...
It's in the right... It, I mean, they got the right thing going on there. That thing is fun. And sorry, I don't know what it's called, and I probably shouldn't have brought
it's
it up
It's all
on
like
this
matching
podcast.
Games and like... Pick out the. We're gonna show you three things. Pick out the thing that's red, and you gotta hit it. And it's all just do it as fast
super,
as you can.
Like,
so you're just
so
super
it's just
fast.
Like the mini game stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Super fast paced mini game. So if you like, you know, Mario Party or whatever those
Mario Party. No. WarioWare is what you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah,
there you go.
Mario Party is not fast paced.
Okay. No, this is totally fast.
Yeah, it's definitely like WarioWare for
definitely,
sure.
Definitely.
That trend fun. Is kind of long gone, but
drink your
of,
coffee,
mini games, but
sniff your Coke or whatever you have to do.
Yeah. But that's why I brought up kind of like the janky hardware / console port subject is because when I play Gorf or I play like Star Wars, I can't get into Gorf because it's actually a good game and I used to not like it, but I got sucked into it just because of the gameplay. But whenever a game like just stresses the hardware and it's just not a fluid one to one, it just reminds me of like shitty console ports. You know, like they're stretching the hardware so much that it's at the expense of the gameplay.
Okay.
And that's why I think where I'm getting at is like, that's why I like classic games because they do seem timeless. You know, they're simple. They have a super fast frame rate.
They don't seem fucked.
Well, there's something nice about having had the game and the hardware designed as a single unit that makes them play a lot better than generic hardware that a bunch of different games are ported to.
Yeah. It ended in like the Sega era when they were doing like the Model 1, 2, and 3 stuff. That was like some of the last like discrete hardware for games or arcade games.
Okay. With that being said, dedicated hardware, arcade games that can't fucking play, that has terrible slowdown. Anybody?
Star Wars.
Okay.
Next. No, that's why I don't like that game. It just stresses the hardware so much.
I got much worse. Go ahead. Next. Yeah,
I know there's way more. Pig out.
Pig out's choppy. Yep.
Yep. Come on, Ian.
I got the king of them all. You guys ready?
I will say Omega Race gets really fucking choppy once there are a shitload of mines on the screen. It slows down
and then you use
amazingly,
it.
And it actually makes the game way easier.
And it's better, yeah.
Okay. But the whole game's not like that, though, so as long as you're like...
Here's my big one.
Let's hear the king.
Double Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
That thing...
It's like you're playing slow down.
You would think that something's broken.
Yeah. Have you... Metal Slug 2, actually. I don't know if you count that, because that's... Well, yeah, like when there are a lot of sprites on the screen, it slows down like hell.
Yeah, that's why I think some of the classics are, you know, just classics to me. You can just...
They didn't do that shit.
Yeah, there's tons of new modern games that are just amazing graphics-wise, and there's just like shit after there.
So. I've kind of gone off the like really good graphics stuff. It's kind of nice to have, but things like having really good gameplay and awesome sound, I think, mean a lot more to me than having really incredible graphics.
No, I mean, graphics have gotten to a point, unlike PC games, where, it's starting to reach, you know, CGI movie level or whatever. It's ridiculous. I mean, it just depends on how much money you want to spend on your computer to play one game. Kind of takes the whole point out of playing video games.
Yeah, it's just gotten so advanced. That's why I was, like, drawn into classic games, you know? That's kind of like how I got into, like, the hobby to begin with. It's just, I grew up in the 90s era of games, and stuff was looking crazy with, like, Mortal Kombat and all that, and then...
Mortal Kombat looked and looks like fucking shit.
No, not when that it game came does out. Not look good. No, when it came out, dude, it was like...
It did not look good when it came out.
Yeah, I thought it did.
I liked it.
But, you know, like... You were wrong. You know when you play, like, console games back in the day in, like... The frame rate seemed like fucking amazing. The graphics seemed amazing. And then you go back to it and it's like,
games are you talking about?
Just like, you know, like 64 games.
Echo
like,
the Dolphin.
We were talking about
Turok.
No, Echo the Dolphin still holds up.
Arena Toshinden.
That's okay, I guess. But yeah, so like a lot of the 64 ports, like, you know, or not ports, but games, just like all the, when they started introducing like polygons and games.
Super Mario
and like,
64.
Mario 64 fucking rules.
No, that's an exception right there.
That was a great game right there.
It was a good game.
And Turok was a great game.
Yeah.
No, talk about Nintendo 64.
Yeah,
it was
okay. Yeah.
It was a great game.
But FPS games,
what I'm getting at is, so like when we played those games when they came out, as technology was evolving, it was like amazing. Like, holy shit, you know, there's no more pop-up, there's no more pixelation when stuff comes up towards you. It was amazing at the time when the technology was evolving, but then when you go back and play them, it's fucking horrible. Like, they're unplayable. Now you go back to, like, the classic arcade games, and they're still playable.
Do you think that's because that style of 3D games is the current style? Let me expand on this a little bit.
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
So the sort of 2D pixel art games are dead, except for the fucking retro bullshit games that I hate.
Retro style.
But you love it.
But that style
that you play with a stupid fucking touch screen on a 4-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the style of 3D polygon based games, which I will just arbitrarily say Quake was the progenitor of that specific style.
Well, FPS stuff.
The modern games are all in that style, just more refined. But I would say that is a style and a discrete and recognizable style versus the 2D pixel sprite based games.
Yeah.
And do you think that it's just that's like, I don't know, if you go back and look at
the
like
first
gunfight
2D stuff.
The first black and white games, do you think that's the same sort of thing?
I don't know, because it was just so simple back then. It was just a matter of technology, though, because back then, you're saying gunfight. I mean, you could still...
I mean,
you can make out all the characters.
Pong. Let's say Pong.
Pong's, like, super fluid. You could still play it today. I mean, you could still...
Yeah. I'm not just talking about frame rate. I'm talking about, like, overall graphics, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you go, oh, Pong, and then you look at Pac-Man, I mean, it's, like, crazy, right?
But that's sort of the point I'm making.
But it's not like to Pong and like, you're like this.
The visual clarity is like there though on both.
Yeah,
of them.
It's like, and it's not like it's fuzzy or it's
muddled.
It's
there's not, no pop up. There's no.
Out. Yeah, you wouldn't say, oh, this sucks. They didn't do this right. This could be better.
It's a matter of presentation too. Like, you know, like pole position. You know, the road's always there. Like the top down drivers. You know, just how they presented the games. Like Sprint. You know, all the
even
black
Night
and white
Driver.
Drivers.
Would you say, oh, Night Driver? This is no good.
Yeah, like all the games. Well, yeah, Night Driver's kind of shitty.
Yeah, but it gets the point across.
Yeah, but I think it's a matter of the art style, too, right?
They just changed the name of the game to reflect the technology that was available. Yeah. That's the best thing.
So the screen's black, so...
So it's Night Driver.
Or we can just give you a shit ton of burn in like 6 months and call it Day Driver.
Originally, it was going to be called Driver. Yeah.
Well, that's not going back to like the N64 games, and I know lots of people have a fondness for GoldenEye on the N64, which is a game that I never played.
That is a fun
game.
It was a fun game.
I never played it, so had no nostalgia for it. Finally played it, and that game is just unplayable. It's like you can't tell where the hell you're going. You're like stuck in a corner. But the polygons are so terrible.
People got good at it.
My perspective.
State of the art.
Because what was there.
At the time that came out, I was very into PC FPS games. You know, I played a lot of Quake, and I took one look at that fucking game and was like, no.
It looks terrible.
Hell no.
Like GoldenEye, you mean?
GoldenEye.
He's talking about GoldenEye.
I couldn't handle it because I was used to playing FPS games with, you know, like WASD and mouse look. Yeah. And I was like, how the fuck do you do anything on this piece of shit game?
I am still that way. Do you go to people's houses who have Xboxes and things and they have this sweet game and then you try to play it?
No, I'm actually good at those games.
No, they're not my friends.
And it's on that and it's on that stupid little controller and
I still struggle with that, but
yeah, I love this game, but I can't play it. Can I have a keyboard and a mouse?
Coming from the perspective of someone who is into the PC games in a similar vein, it was so crappy. I just could not handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so you can go. So like you're saying, when we first played GoldenEye, it was fucking amazing. Like it was awesome. And it seemed like fluid and
not when I
sweet.
First played it.
Okay.
Actually, well, I was already.
You're the only one.
Yeah. Okay, okay. I was playing FPS computer games. Well, so was I was playing Counter-Strike at that point.
No, I was playing all that stuff too. I was playing all that stuff too.
I never played it back in the day.
And it was, you had this tiny little window.
Yes.
You had a quarter of the screen on it. What kind of TVs did we have back then? 27-inch if you're halfway lucky. Yeah.
I just always played, you know, one player, but I'm just saying, like, when we were playing those
games... No, I'm talking about four player. That was the beauty of GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Was the multiplayer.
I tried to play that, like, years ago, and it was like, fucking unplayed. It was like a slideshow.
Yeah, everybody gets, like, a 5-inch screen.
And like, oh, shit, there's a pixel. Oh, we're, like, back to playing 1970s games again. What I was saying is, like, at the time when I was playing those games, there was nothing else available, right? There's no other technology better. So like the frame rate seemed amazing because that's all I knew. The graphics were and they were good for the time. Like
sure,
we're not,
but now
that was like that was like the top of the line stuff.
Like
what I'm
like
saying
you
is
revisit Pong and it's perfectly
I can't play
playable.
That. I can't go back to that now and play it and go, oh shit, this is still sweet frame rate.
Right.
But I can go back and play a game that's 30 years old and go, wow, 60 frames per second. I can make out all the characters. What I'm saying is it's like it's a matter of presentation too.
You know
and the art
game,
style.
You know what old games have
that's what I'm saying.
Like the most amazing frame rates? Fucking EMs. they literally have an infinite frame rate.
True that.
Their frame rate is so fine it exceeds your visual capacity.
I can't even
Retina games.
Retina display.
I slow that shit down and I still can't see where the frame rate is. It's amazing. Yeah.
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Truly.
You need like new technology to figure that shit out.
Man, I wish I had the space to collect EM games.
Hey, I should say this really quick. I met my wife because of GoldenEye.
Are you serious?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Since we mentioned this, we worked together and she invited me to go play video games with her and her friends.
And now she doesn't like video games.
And this is what they did is they played GoldenEye on the N64 four player. And that was the party on Tuesday nights. And
nice.
She invited me to do that. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
So. Cream
brown
pies.
Eye. Brown eye.
Yep.
Yeah. But, God, I love... It just kind of makes me want to talk about console games, but I won't. But the thing I loved about GoldenEye when it came out, one of the funnest parts was...
The MSRP rejects.
Yeah. When you... one of the first parts of the game where you're up in like the air ducts and there's a guy, Russian dude, taking his shit in the shitter and in the stall.
I don't think I ever played the single player.
And you can like shoot his hat off instead of just killing him and just fucking piss him off. And they're just funny shit like that. Those are the memories that I like. But yeah, going back to... classic games. I mean, the replay value just doesn't end for me. That's why I got hooked into it.
Good point.
another thing that I've been thinking about lately, as far as the replay value is concerned, is your relationship to playing the games and scoring high scores, and like or what you might consider high scores and some other people might consider shit scores.
Yeah.
But because I play these games and I can always get to a point. There's like a plateau level that I can get to, and it's like I'm always working towards that, and I'm always working to get past that. But it continues to stay fun. It's like, it's never like, oh, I'm going to play Zookeeper, but I'll get up to the lion stage and then I'm just going to die.
Fuck that
and
lion
it's like,
stage.
It's always...
hate that one.
It's always you can just see it and you can just know that you can get past it. And
that's
so what do you guys think about as far as like playing for score and like maybe what games do you guys like to beat your high scores on or feel like maybe you'll never get past a certain score that you currently have or your dad's score?
Remember when we talked about Missile Command and how it just like ramps up so fast, right? And you were saying you feel like you can always get on Zookeeper, like the good games, I can always feel like I can get to the next level like that, right? And with Missile Command, I can't. And that's one of the reasons why I don't own it. Amongst like our group of friends, like even just us sitting at the table, we all have similar skill levels. We all are better at certain games. And to me, that's like my little personal challenge is like to beat Ian at like Omega Race or Jordan at Tapper, because Jordan's, you know, to me, Jordan's good at Tapper. You know, you're good at Zookeeper because you just beat my score. And 720, right? And I don't care about like the world records or anything like that. Like, I just like that we have just like mini competitions going.
Yeah.
I like that. That is cool.
I like to keep track of my own scores and just kind of try to best whatever I was able to do before. My general goal, and this kind of varies from one game to another because the scoring isn't the same, but I figure if I can break 100K on any game I own, I'm doing pretty good. I know I'm never going to be, you know, world class player at any of this.
Don't sell yourself short, buddy.
Well, so yeah, the games that I can have a world record on are the games that are so rare that no one else owns them. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, Missile Command or Donkey Kong or Pac-Man, I'm never going to get a world record score on those. You know, it's just not going to happen. And that's fine. But, you know, I do like trying to push myself. So, you know, I've got a pretty decent score. I think 350K is what I can get on Pac-Man. That's my personal best.
That's good. To me, that's good.
I think that's an objectively good score. I aim for, above average, basically.
I think you're the best Pac-Man player in this room.
Yes.
Possibly.
I think so, yeah.
Turbo only, though. Fuck original speed.
That's so fucking boring.
It's really shit. Totally shit. And I can do, like, you know, a half million on Galaga.
Patience of a monk.
I have high confidence that if one of us did want to achieve a world record, it's just a commitment thing. And I think that, like we've talked about in the past, there's other attractions to the hobby. There's,
I got shit to do.
Yeah. There's restorations. There's just, you know, enjoying the hobby. There's just being, and I don't consider any of us like casuals, but I consider us, you know, collectors and,
yeah,
and part of a group.
I generally play my games after I fix them.
Yeah, and it's just, you know,
pick them up, play, fix them, play. Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, the high score thing is meaningless to me because it's just a commitment thing, and I just, you know, I don't have time for it, and I don't want to make time for it, and I just think it's pointless to me. I just enjoy our, like I said, like our personal bests.
Well, the thing that really I think is nuts are the kind of marathon game sessions where you've got to play for 72 hours.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Just no. Not going to happen. Not into it. You know, I don't know. I like sleeping and, you know, pissing in toilets.
There's games like 720.
Not pissing in your pants.
Yeah. But, you know, there's I think our perspective is, this is one of the cases where our perspective is so warped, because if you look at someone who's truly a casual player play a game, you just want to fucking shake them.
Yeah.
It's like,
motherfucker, no,
what are you even doing?
Yeah, do you even understand what's going on that screen?
Yes.
Are you thinking of something else while you're playing?
I distinctly recall.
Are you like doing calculations of calculus or something?
I'm not a terrific Asteroids player, but, you know, I can get a reasonable score.
I haven't
broken 100K. That's my goal on Asteroids, is to wrap around the score at 100K, which I haven't gotten there yet. But
saucer hunting or not?
I hate it. I mean, it's the only way you can do it, but I have a hard time.
I always get shot.
Or just like blow through the screen, like up.
Yeah.
I've tried all those tricks. Yeah.
I find that kind of boring. Yeah, so, but I saw someone who, there was a thing and someone needed some help fixing their asteroids. And so I helped fix their asteroids. And then, you know, I was like, okay, hey, here it's fixed. Go ahead and play a game, you know, just to make sure you're happy with it. And I watched them play and I was just fucking aghast. This person had owned this game for like way longer than I have even been collecting. And they start out the game and they do not use thrust at all. They just don't move the ship. All they do is mash the hyperspace button until I'm not even joking.
Are you kidding?
I am not making this up. They hit the hyperspace button until it's like in one of the quadrants and not in the center. And then they never move. They just rotate and shoot until they get creamed by an asteroid.
Whoa.
And then that's it.
It's an interesting strategy.
And I was like, okay, I gotta go. Wow.
And then you give them a man cave sign, yeah. And then you fucking walk away.
Had they just smoked crack?
No. but I don't think this is an uncommon tactic. Like, I think people just don't know how to play well.
They play, like, maybe once. I mean, maybe not the person you're talking about, but...
I mean, they'd owned the game for 25 years.
Right, but I'm talking about people that might come to...
They're too busy, like, burning the control panel with cigarettes.
Yeah. They might come to PRGE and they see a Pac-Man... Yeah. At once every 2 years or something. Once a year, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you get people that they haven't played it for years,
yeah.
But yeah, someone that's had
but
it
if
in
it's
their
your game.
If it's your game, yeah.
So, Jordan, what do you think about that? What do you think about the high score and
just
you as a collector? And what do you feel about that?
I like the high score crowd. I think it's a good thing for.
That's because they play your game. It's gonna come over. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yep. Okay. And that's that.
That's it.
Next,
Brian, you didn't even state your opinion on it.
I like trying to best my high scores, but it's always, like I said, there's always kind of a plateau to it. Like, I'm still chasing the 1 million Robotron game. I haven't,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
haven't
me too.
Gotten there yet.
At your house every time.
There's just like, I think what it takes is if you want to top your scores, that you just have to like play it, like maybe take a week and like, okay, I'm going to play Robotron like all week. I remember when I first got it, you know, for a while, I would like set the level to 10, you know, the hardest level and just, you know, see how far I could get there to get a little bit better at it. But yeah, it's just but these games are just super fun to play, and even though you know that you're going to get your ass kicked at some point, it's like
you can get better, you can get worse. I mean, personally,
it goes in waves.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely tried to concentrate on games and I can get better, and if I'm out of practice I get worse. I mean,
or sometimes I'm drunk and I just kick ass.
No, that doesn't happen.
It does for me. Yeah.
Totally. Really?
That's
really
weird.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And then, like, or if your friends are around, you get, like, kind of hyped up, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm kicking ass. Or then your friends are around, and you fucking suck.
They're my best games of Black Knight 2000 were two-player games.
Pinball, I think, can be a little... Pinball's more random, I think. Yeah.
But another point...
All my good games were two-player games.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I play for a half an hour, and I'm like, all right, it's your ball. Their ball's over in 3 seconds. I'm like, okay, sorry.
I think for me, like, Robotron is the game where I know the most people like to compete at because it's a kick-ass game.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't like Robotron.
It's such a good game. Yeah, it's one of the best ever. I mean, it's top three.
I wouldn't even know what Cadbury.
Top three for you.
Top one.
You can just pass that Cadbury to me.
Robotron's amazing, but... Anyhow, I've been, you know, on my pussy settings, I've been very close to like a million, like 900-something thousand. Nice. And no, I'll play that same game on those same...
What are the settings on your Robotron?
Really easy. I don't know. Five men, a new man every...
Jeez, you're making me...
Every 3 points.
Every 10,000.
Yeah. Another thing that you brought up...
But I'll play it today, and even if I try right now, I'll probably get 300,000, just because I haven't practiced.
Another thing that's important that I think in this discussion is,
nothing's important in this discussion.
Yeah.
With that mentality of like not giving a shit about the highest score world, I also make it a habit of not looking up patterns or like following those people and what they do to get high scores, because I think that would kill it for me. Right.
It depends. Like, I mean,
no, I like to know. I don't.
There's games like 720 where you have,
but you're already good at it, and so you're just trying to squeeze out points,
right? But it's good like to look at Jeff C. he's, you know, one of the best players out there. And yeah. look at what he does, and it's incredible what
yeah.
the way he plays the game. And
yeah.
and you've got to, I mean, you don't want to follow someone's strategies to a T if you can develop your own. But, you know, it helps to see what somebody's doing to, like, unlock something in your head. Like, oh, yeah, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I completely
never even
agree.
Thought about
but,
playing it like
but
that.
But then there's also the mystery of, like,
trying to figure it out for
you
yourself.
Have all these games. I have all these games in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dragon Slayer, I mean, it's not working, but I haven't gone online and go, oh, here's all the moves for Dragon Slayer, you sure. know. Because
yes,
because
well.
That game,
which is that would ruin it.
That would instantly ruin that game. Everyone knows that.
Maybe the problem is not the patterns.
Yeah.
yeah.
Up, left, forward,
yeah.
back.
Yeah. Perhaps the game is simplistic.
No, but what,
you still have to time it.
It still translates to other games too. Like, you know, I'm just saying. Like, I want to find those things out, and I want to keep my high score quotes within the circle of friends, not, you know, world record holders. So. If you all of a sudden come...
You're selling yourself short.
I don't care.
You're in this world, man.
I'm taking the high road of just figuring out myself. That way, like, these games that are in here, I'm on my own pace. So
it's funny, because when I played these games back in the day, I never thought about... I know you can get on the high score table, but I was never like, oh,
here's
I need to get a high score. I need to,
yeah,
like, do better.
Dad.
Really?
No, I never was. I just played the games, and it really...
I was kind of like that, too, I guess.
Like, when yeah. I got that Williams Greatest Hits, and the interview with Eugene Jarvis, and he's talking about just ruling Robotron, in my head, I was like, nobody can do that. And when I saw King of Kong, it was like, oh, people can actually do that. And it made me think, oh, maybe I should go home and play my Joust and try to get a big high score on it or something.
I definitely always liked, you know, I would play like Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man on location, and definitely it meant something. Like, there wasn't usually a huge high score on it, so I don't think it was a, you know, tremendous achievement. But, you know, breaking 100K on a machine in public and getting up onto the high score position, that definitely meant something to me.
Yeah. Did you piss your pants?
I'm about to.
About getting ready to, yeah. Yeah, we've been recording for like an hour and a half here.
But I do remember, you know, like, I don't know, that was a game I practiced a lot. But then I remember I played DK a lot on a shitty home port, and then I played in the arcade, and I just got brutally destroyed by that game. What are you, I don't know what you're doing.
I'm, well, okay. Starting with the next episode, well, maybe this episode, which if it's this episode,
it's a Christmas special. God. Does that mean it goes 2 hours?
Maybe we should. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't.
Oh, God.
Shouldn't say anything about
flip
it.
Flip a coin.
So
we're flipping a token for some reason.
So every episode,
we don't know why yet.
Every episode going forward, we're gonna choose a game. So whatever location we're at, if we're at Ian's, Brian's, or Jordan's, we're gonna play a game.
Or Brandon's.
Yes. And so we're just going to approach it from a, you know, a unique perspective. We're not going to be fanboys about it. We're not going to be like, I hate this game.
What if I hate the game?
Then you can decide that after. You can talk about it.
Sucks.
You can talk about it.
They call me back, no Santa. I make my runs about to break up.